I invite you to take your Bible and find Exodus chapter 12, the second book of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 12. As we prepare to gather at the Lord's table as the redeemed people of God to take the bread and the cup given to us by the Lord Jesus as a reminder of the awful price that He paid for our eternal redemption. As you know, in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed. In the New Testament, Christ is revealed. And in Exodus chapter 12, we have the account of the first Passover as it was observed by the people of God, the Hebrew nation down in Egypt. And it is a type or a prophecy or a symbol of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning I want us to think with me about Moses' lamb, and actually not just lamb, but lambs, and Mary's lamb, Mary being Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. An account of two lambs today, Moses' lamb and Mary's lamb. And I want you to understand that the Jews were in bondage in Egypt, and Egypt is a type of the lost man, and Pharaoh is a symbol or a picture of Satan. And I'm told that on the Pharaoh's crown was a serpent. Of course, a serpent is a symbol in the scripture of Satan. And the serpent was going to be conquered by a lamb. A meek, mild, gentle lamb would destroy the serpent. In this Exodus, this account in Exodus 12 of the first Passover observance. As you know, a lamb is one of the weakest of all animals. A lamb has no claws or fangs. I'm told that when those who slay lambs do so, they feel guilty because a lamb is such an innocent animal. It's no Rambo, if you please. A lamb seems to say, if you're hungry, take my life and eat me for nourishment. A lamb seems to say, if you're cold, shear my wool and make garments to warm yourself. A lamb seems to say, I'm here to give myself unto you. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ. But first, let's take just a few moments to look at Moses' lamb, Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through verse 14. Exodus 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for his household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come, shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. I want you to see with me several characteristics about Moses' lambs. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lambs that were slain on that first Passover evening. First thing I want you to see with me in verse 5 is that this lamb was a special lamb. Look again in verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, "The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats." The sacrificial lamb was to be a male and not a female. A female would not do. I don't know what the women liberals would do with that today, but that was certainly God's clear instructions at this point. And not only was it to be a male, but it was to be without defect. We read in that passage a moment ago that the lambs were to be identified on the 10th day of the month, and the lambs were to be slain on the 14th day of the month. So for a period of 4 days, these lambs were to be examined. And they were to be very, very particular to see that the lamb had no defect at all. A blameless lamb. A crippled lamb would not do. A diseased lamb would not do. In fact, I'm told that over the passing of the centuries, the rabbis came to the place where they were instructing the people even to examine the eyelids of a sacrificial lamb before it might be given on the sacrifice at Passover. So it was a very special lamb, a year-old male without blemish. Secondly, I want you to see with me in verse 6 that the lamb must be slain. It was a slain lamb. In verse 6, we read, "Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." At the end of the day, of day 14 of the month, these lambs were to be slaughtered. The father of each household was to take that lamb without blemish and slit its throat. And the blood was to be caught into a bowl or a basin. The lamb must give its life in this Passover observance. A living lamb would not do. The lamb must die. Now, there are many today who want us to focus on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His life is worthy of our attention. We ought to focus on His life. They want us to focus on His marvelous teachings and His supernatural works of miracles. But they don't want us to focus on His death. There are some who would say to us that the bloody death of Jesus on Calvary's cross is unacceptable to sophisticated modern 21st century men and women. The fact of the matter is that just as this sacrificial lamb in Exodus chapter 12 had to be a slain lamb, so the Lord Jesus Christ must give His life. Some may call it barbaric, but we know that it is God's plan. In Egypt, a living lamb would not have sufficed to cause the angel of God to pass over the firstborn of every household. The lamb must have been slain. Let us be reminded this day that salvation does not come from learning lessons about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it comes from receiving life from the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And the Lord's Supper is a constant reminder to us of that reality. And so the lamb must be a special lamb, and it must be a slain lamb. But third, I want you to see with me in verses 7 and 22 and 23 that it was a saving lamb. Look again in verse 7. "Then you are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs." This blood that was caught in the basin was to be smeared across the top of the doors and along the side of the door. Now look down in verse 22 and 23. "And take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on the sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. And so they were to take hyssop, which is a shrub that grows in rocks and walls. It's an illustration of faith. By faith, they were to obey the command of God. And they were to take the hyssop and dip it into the basin that contained the blood of the lamb whose throat had been slit by the father of each one of those Hebrew families. And it was to be placed upon on the top of the door and on the sides of the door. But no blood was to be on the threshold. There was to be no blood placed there on the floor. Reminder that we never go in over the blood, but only under the blood and through the blood. The blood of Christ is never to be trampled upon, but to be honored as the sufficient means by which God has effected our eternal redemption. Moses' lamb was a special lamb and a slain lamb and a saving lamb. If they were to be slain when the Lord came through in the night, killing all the firstborn of the sons of Egypt, if those Hebrew firstborn sons were to be spared, the blood must be smeared on the door frames of the house, and the Lord would pass over that household and spare that firstborn son. And then I want you to see next, it was a shared lamb. Look in chapter 12, verse 8, Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. Not only a special lamb and a slain lamb and a saving lamb, but a shared lamb. Verse 8, that same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with the bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. They were to feed upon the meat of the sacrificial lamb. They were to share it. Mother, father, sons, and daughters, in every household, they were to share this meal together, this Passover meal. Every family was to do so. Can you imagine what it must have been like in Egypt with hundreds of thousands of families roasting a lamb as the aroma made its way across Egypt? It must have been, for the Egyptian, somewhat of an intimidating smell. What is this that's happening? Here are these Hebrew families. They're sitting down to eat this roasted meat, this sacrificial lamb. And they are fellowshipping with God. And they are fellowshipping with one another. And when the following day came, and the firstborn of all the sons of the Egyptians had been slain, and the firstborn of all the sons of the Hebrews had been spared, when those families walked out under those door frames where the blood had been smeared, they walked out with a lamb in them which they had eaten the night before. It reminds us of the promise of the word of instruction given us in Colossians, where Paul wrote, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And so we find in Exodus chapter 12, we find an account of Moses' lamb or lambs. But now I want you to look with me as we think about Mary's lamb, Mary being the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look with me in Jeremiah 31. So we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table. Look in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31, 32, and 33. Because there is a very clear connection between Moses' lamb and Mary's lamb. And Jeremiah the prophet, some hundreds of years after the account that we read just a moment ago in Exodus chapter 12, talks about this connection here, this old covenant, this new covenant. Jeremiah 31, 31. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." We talk of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We also could describe them as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt." That is a direct reference to what we just saw in Exodus chapter 12. "Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." Verse 33, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, in their minds, and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." The old covenant was external, but the new covenant is internal. And this new covenant is a covenant which has been effected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross. It is a spiritual covenant which was accomplished through the life, death, and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from the time of Exodus chapter 12 to the time of Jesus' death on Calvary's cross and that Passover meal that he observed with his followers, that's recounted for us in the Gospels the night before he was crucified. Faithful Jewish families would have observed over the centuries this Passover meal. And when they would come together to take the Passover meal, they would take the bread, and it would be broken into three pieces and placed in a bag. And then later they would take out the middle piece of the bread as a part of the Passover observance. There would be a cup that was placed at the table that was never filled with the fruit of the vine. It would be a reminder of the coming Messiah. A place was set for the coming Messiah. And an empty chair would be placed at that observance, a place for the coming Messiah. Now, with all of that in mind, think with me again about the lamb. I want you to see with me Mary's lamb. And just as Moses' lamb was a special lamb, Mary's lamb was a special lamb. Look in John chapter 1, verse 29. In John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 29, we find that John the Baptizer announces by pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. And he could not have said it more clearly than in the words we read here in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look," or "behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is that Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is that special Lamb who takes away our sins. Now, when Passover would be observed on the Sunday before Passover, the lambs would be led into the city of Jerusalem through the sheep gate. Hundreds and hundreds of lambs. It was on that same Sunday, we know as Palm Sunday today, that the Lamb of God came through the gates into the city of Jerusalem. Do you understand that about a third of the gospel accounts are given over to that last week in the life of Jesus? Almost nothing is said of his childhood and his adolescent years, his birth, and that brief incident at age 12 when he went up to the temple with Joseph and Mary. A great deal, of course, is devoted to the 3 years of his public ministry. But about a third of the gospel accounts are given over to that one week in his life that began with Palm Sunday and continued with his betrayal, his death, his resurrection on the third day. And so Jesus is that special lamb. During that week, while those lambs were being examined, and the priests and the Levites and all those who worked there in the temple, they were examining these lambs to see if they were without blemish or defect so that they could be offered on the altar of sacrifice in these Passover observances, the Lord Jesus was being examined as well. One opponent said of him, "Never spake a man like this man." And even Pilate said of him, "I find no fault in him." He was a special lamb. Not only was he the special Lamb of God, but he was the slain Lamb of God. Look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 13 through 20. This is Luke's account of the observance of that Passover meal, which Jesus observed in the upper room with his followers before his betrayal. We'll begin with verse 13. Luke says, "And they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover." Jesus and the 12 were preparing the same Passover that Hebrews had been observing since Exodus 12 for centuries and centuries. Verse 14, "And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" The Passover meal Jesus did as Hebrews had done for so many centuries. Observed this meal. He reached in the bag and pulled out the middle piece of that unleavened bread that had been broken into three pieces. The middle piece is Jesus, symbol of Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity. He said, "Take this bread. It's given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." We will take of that bread in just a moment. And then he took the cup. The Messiah's cup, the cup that had been empty for all these centuries, anticipation of the Messiah. Referenced in Jeremiah 31:31. And now Jesus is the fulfillment. In Luke 22:20, the scripture says, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Within a matter of hours, Jesus would be nailed to a cross, Mount Calvary outside the city gates of Jerusalem, the very mountain where Abraham, in obedience to the command of the voice of God, had taken his son, his dear son Isaac, to sacrifice him. And there at the last minute, the angel of the Lord stayed his hand, and God provided a lamb in the thicket there. And now, thousands of years later, God provides the true Lamb of God who was slain on Mount Calvary. Those lambs were being herded that day. They were being herded that day by all the Jewish people that day to be slain at 3 a.m. as Jesus himself was being slain on Calvary's cross that same hour. Mary's lamb is a special lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Mary's lamb is a slain lamb. Let us not deceive ourselves or delude ourselves into thinking we are better than we are. Our sin, your pastor's sin, your sin is so deep and so offensive to a holy God that only the blood of the dear Lamb of God can cleanse us of our sin. Then I want you to see in John 19:30 that Mary's lamb was not only a special lamb and a slain lamb, but a saving lamb. The beauty of the gospel accounts of the death of Jesus is not that they are contradictory, for they are certainly not, but they are complementary. And there are things in all four accounts that shed different light on what happened, what took place on the cross. And in John's account, John chapter 19, verse 30, John records this saying by Jesus just before he gave up his spirit. "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' And with that, he bowed his head. And he gave up his spirit." This slain lamb is a saving lamb. There's no more need for a Passover lamb. No more justification. Let all the priests and Levites go home. Their work is done. There's nothing else they need to do. It is finished. The sin debt has been paid. The sinless Son of God has done what no one else could do. All of those Passover lambs, those multitudes of Passover lambs from Exodus 12 all the way down to the cry of Christ on the cross when He cried out, "It is finished." All of those were just types and prophecies and shadows of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," He was announcing for all time and all eternity that the sin debt had been paid in full. He is our one and only Savior. By His shed blood on Calvary's cross, He has done what no one else could do. We rejoice and give Him glory. And then finally, not only was Mary's lamb a special lamb and a slain lamb and a saving lamb, but this ties in with our observance of the Lord's Supper. Just as was true in Exodus chapter 12 in those Hebrew households, Mary's lamb is a shared lamb. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Paul gives instructions about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. And just these two verses in chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, he says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of one loaf." When we come to the Lord's table, we come as one. The Lord's table is not for everybody. The Lord's table is for the redeemed, baptized followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not for you. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if your sins have been washed in the blood of Christ, if you've confessed your faith in Jesus through the waters of believers' baptism, then this you do. In faithful obedience to His command, we come to the Lord's table. It's a table of thanksgiving as we thank God for His extraordinary gift to us of salvation through Christ Jesus. There's one loaf, and we who are many are one. We partake in His body as we come to the Lord's table. So I invite you, all who know our God, to come to the Lord's table, to draw near unto Christ, to search your heart and see if there be any sins in your life that need to be confessed before you come to the Lord's table, because we drink judgment upon ourselves if we come to the Lord's table without examining ourselves. And let this be a high and holy hour for us as the people of God, so we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and Calvary for our eternal redemption.